From Storyflow.
This is your daily audio brief for June 21st.
Theo here.
June 21st at Tech Desk.
Five stories from the last 24 hours, here's where I'd start.
Let's get into it.
First from the AI corner.
Your GTM run by agents.
So I was reading about this approach to building a go-to-market strategy, and what caught my attention is how it uses agents to run the motion. Essentially, you can encode an operator's rules into these agents, which can handle tasks like sourcing, enriching, sequencing, forecasting, and expanding.
The idea is that your team focuses on the parts that require judgment and human interaction, like closing deals, while the agents take care of the rest.
What's interesting is that most teams try to bolt out onto a broken sales funnel, but this approach integrates operator-grade go-to-market strategies into a system that can run itself.
It's built around an 8-agent stack, each with its own set of rules and workflows.
There are 3 main workflows, a morning loop, an outbound loop, and a forecast loop.
The system also includes a forecast agent that helps keep the pipeline honest, and a land and expand agent that can turn small contracts into larger account motions.
The tools used include Clay, HubSpot, and Claude, with connectors that allow the agents to act within the systems.
The goal is to create a self-running engine that can be set up in 30 days, with a focus on keeping the human elements of the go-to-market strategy intact.
It's a pretty fascinating approach, and I think it could be really useful for teams looking to streamline their sales processes.
Next, second from Rich on Tech.
My favorite apps, Toy Story 5 Hour Warning and Prime Day Deals, 179 June 20, 2026.
So I was reading about the apps that one guy relies on every day, and it's interesting to see how many cross-platform apps he uses, like Gmail, Google Maps, and Google Photos, which work on both iPhone and Android.
He also uses ChatGPT and Evernote, which are pretty useful for note-taking and organization.
What caught my attention was the variety of apps he uses for different tasks, from password management with Bitwarden to flight tracking with Flighty. He also uses Monarch Money for financial tracking, which is a great example of how people are using different apps to manage their daily lives. It's not just about one or two apps, but a whole ecosystem of tools that work together.
I think
what's mechanically surprising here is how people are curating their own set of apps to fit their specific needs rather than just relying on one or two big platforms.
It's a pretty personalized approach to technology, and it's interesting to see how different people are using different combinations of apps to get things done.
Up next, third from TechScoop, why Model Context Protocol could become your next attack surface.
So companies are using this thing called Model Context Protocol, or MCP, to connect their AI systems to external tools and data. It's like a standardized way for AI apps to plug into different systems, which makes it really useful for developers.
But the problem is it also creates a new attack surface.
When AI agents can connect to enterprise systems, they can access all sorts of sensitive information, which is a big risk.
The issue is that MCP makes it easy for AI agents to call tools and access data, but it doesn't have built-in security boundaries.
So companies need to think about how to secure these connections and make sure that AI agents are only doing what they're supposed to do.
One of the big risks is something called tool poisoning, where malicious instructions are embedded in a tool's metadata, which can manipulate the AI model into doing something unsafe. This is a pretty significant shift in the threat model, because in the past tool descriptions were just documentation, but now they can actually influence the AI model's behavior.
So companies need to start treating tool metadata as executable influence and make sure they're reviewing and monitoring it closely. They also need to separate data from instruction and make sure that AI agents are only using trusted data to make decisions.
It's not just an AppSec problem, it's a platform engineering problem, and it requires a lot of different teams to work together to get it right.
SREs need to monitor the agents, security teams need to define what agents are allowed to do, and business teams need to make sure the automation is working as expected.
If companies can get MCP governance right, it could be a really powerful tool for automating all sorts of tasks, but if they don't, it could create some big security risks.
Archestra is one company that's trying to address these issues with an open source AI control plane that runs MCP at company scale.
They're using a private registry of approved MCP servers, and each server runs in its own pod with its own network boundary and logs.
They are also injecting API keys at call time so the model never sees them, and every call is logged.
It's an interesting approach, and it could help companies get a handle on the security risks associated with MCP.
And then, fourth from Real Wildlife.
Wildlife/Postcard.
I'm thinking about that opening line, the way the greens are so thick you can't even see them.
It's a lazy summer morning, the kind where a tiny tree peeks out from the mist and a trout darts through a cold stream slick as a whisper.
The writer's sipping seltzer, letting the day stretch out like a long, easy breath, and the whole scene feels like a quiet invitation to just be present.
The piece isn't trying to tell you a story so much as it's sharing a feeling, a postcard from the world outside our doors.
It's a reminder that the small things, one tree, one fish, the fizz of a drink can anchor a whole season.
The tone is gentle, almost conversational, as if the writer is leaning over the phone and saying, hey, look at this moment with me.
That's the whole idea of the wildlife newsletter,
a little snapshot of life around us, one tree trout at a time.
It's meant to be passed along a tiny note you can forward to family or friends, a way to keep the simple wonder of a summer morning alive until the next one arrives.
Next, Tiff from Emerging AI.
Vibe Coding Full Course with Resources 2026.
2 months ago, I published a beginner's guide to vibe coding.
It became one of the best articles I have written for Opinion AI.
A lot of people used it to build their first small app, website, dashboard, or personal tool.
but 2 months is a long time in AI coding.
The tools have moved fast.
Browser builders now plan projects before touching the code. It starts with zero knowledge and takes you through the full process, choosing the right tool, turning an idea into a clear plan, writing prompts that produce useful work, building your first app feature by feature, saving versions with Git, fixing errors without entering the doom loop, adding a database, and login testing the app, checking security, deploying it to a real URL, learning the small amount of software knowledge that makes everything easier. You do not need a computer science degree. Coding agents can read an entire project, run commands, test their own work, use a browser, create Git commits, and deploy an app. Some can run several coding tasks at the same time.
So I went back and rebuilt the guide.
This is the complete version. You do need a clear idea, some patience, and the willingness to test what the AI gives you.
Let's build something. The phrase came from Androj Karpathy in February 2025.
He described the style of coding, where you explain what you want, accept the AI's work, run it, paste errors back, and keep going without spending much time inside the code.
Collins later named VibeCoding its word of the year for 2025.
The basic idea is still the same. You describe the software in ordinary language.
AI writes and changes the code.
You might say, build a personal expense tracker where I can add expenses, group them by category, and see how much I spent this month. The AI creates the files, interface, buttons, calculations, and data storage.
You test it. Then you say the monthly total is wrong when I delete an expense. Fix the calculation and add a test so this does not happen again. The AI investigates and changes the code.
That loop is vibe coding, but there is an important line. For a quick weekend experiment, you can move loosely and accept a few rough edges. For an app that handles users' private data, subscriptions, business records, or payments, you cannot blindly accept everything.
You have to plan, test, review, and understand the important decisions.
I still call both approaches vibe coding because that is the term people know.
The second one is the useful version.
The first wave of vibe coding tools mostly gave you a chat box and generated a page.
The current tools can do much more. Replit begins with a prompt, helps shape the idea, builds the app, and publishes it from the browser.
Lovable has separate plan and build modes, so you can work through the idea before code is changed.
Claude Code can read a codebase, edit files, run commands, work with Git, and verify its changes.
Cursor has an agent, project rules planning, browser tools, and cloud work opener, as Codex can handle coding tasks and parallel agent work.
That sounds powerful because it is.
Inside the full course, I cover the whole process, choosing the right tool, setting up your stack, planning and prompting properly, building a real app step by step, fixing errors, using Git, adding login and a database, testing security, deploying it, and following a 4-week roadmap with useful R.
Resources.
It also makes bad instructions more expensive.
An agent that can edit 20 files can create 20 file problems. The main skill is still clear thinking.
That's it for today.
Tomorrow morning, whatever the night brings.
Stay curious.